What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer. We are two writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers now for five seasons. We do our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly, and this is now going into our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, we have a huge show for you guys today because we have some huge news for you guys today. You'd have to be under a rock at this point to not know the biggest news, but the Chargers executed their largest trade in decades on Wednesday. So we're going to have to start with that, and then we're going to be getting into a position group profile. And of course, with the timing of this, it's kind of perfect, but we're going to be talking about the interior offensive line for the Chargers today. So we're going to talk about centers and guards. First, we're going to talk about the 2019 performances, and then we're going to go into how the group looks like going forward, our confidence, what kind of moves need to be made at the position, and so on and so forth. So, David, let's go ahead and get into it. Tom Telesco has taken much grief during his tenure with the Chargers as their general manager for not making trades, but on Wednesday, he made a blockbuster one. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Early on Wednesday, reports came out from Josina Anderson that the Chargers were talking with the Carolina Panthers to possibly move left tackle Russell Okung, and later on in the day, both ESPN's Adam Schefter and NFL insider Ian Rapoport both reported that the Chargers have tentatively agreed to a deal that would send left tackle Russell Okung to the Carolina Panthers and send back five-time Pro Bowl right guard Trey Turner to the Chargers. David, this is an absolutely monumental deal for Tom Telesco, who is not known for these sort of things, and there was some reports a few weeks ago that Russell Okung was unsure of the direction of the organization. His good buddy Pat Meyer left the Chargers to go to the Carolina Panthers and be their offensive line coach, bringing in James Campen to the Chargers, and now we have seen the two teams swap offensive linemen, the rebuilding Panthers get a left tackle to mentor some of their younger players, and the Chargers get much needed help at a position where they're losing maybe their best offensive lineman from last season, Michael Schofield. So David, when you saw this, what was your first reaction?
When I first saw this, I was like, oh man, I can't believe that Tom Telesco actually made a trade for one. I mean, that's just something that he has never really shown that he's going to do. But I mean, second of all, I was elated. You trade an older left tackle with a gigantic cap hit for a younger guard who is also a five-time Pro Bowler. And that's five straight Pro Bowls in a row. So a guy that has a great pedigree, who has a nastiness, who plays the position of guard the way you want someone to play the position of guard. So I thought it was a home run type of trade. Obviously, nothing is official until the start of the league year when free agency starts. But when you trade away a marquee left tackle, you're going to have a gigantic hole there at left tackle. And now it seems the Chargers probably need to address both tackle spots going into free agency.
Absolutely. I mean, Russell Okung, say what you will about him, but he is one of the top left tackles in the NFL when he's healthy. And with the Chargers before the pulmonary embolism, he was very healthy. So this does put a spotlight on the Chargers' glaring holes at offensive tackle, because none of the combination of Sam Tevy, Trent Scott, or Trey Pipkins gives you much faith in the position coming up this season. But as far as what the Chargers are going to get with Trey Turner, they get a young player. He is going to have a pretty sizable cap hit. It's going to be $8.5 million this season, according to ESPN, and $11.5 million next season. It's already reported that he wants a new deal. So, David, it is going to be a cap hit. But even in a down season last year for Trey Turner, he still outplayed the rest of the Chargers' offensive linemen. So this has to be a huge deal for the Chargers, especially getting another year of control, having control through the 2021 season.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got rid of a contract that only had 1 year left on it, and now you bring in a guy who's younger who has 2 years left on the deal. He did say he wants a new contract, but of course, you know, if everything goes well after one season with the Chargers, I'm sure that they would have no trouble signing Trey Turner to an extension. I mean, he's 26 years old. He still has several prime years left in his career if he stays healthy. I think everything lines up for the Chargers. You know, in this situation, they greatly improved their offensive line with this move. It was definitely a shock I'm sure to many, but a great move in my mind for Tom Telesco and the Chargers, a young, aggressive offensive lineman that is going to help you immediately and in the future.
Absolutely. He's a building block on an offensive line, and it shows Tom Telesco he is committed finally to actually improving this offensive line. And at the end of the day, this is a huge improvement for the Chargers. This is a win for the Chargers, taking a very talented player from a team that is trying to rebuild. That is a win for you, and to finally get one of the pieces on your offensive line that is a young, talented player that you can feel good about going forward has to be a huge win in the biggest trade of Tom Telesco's career. But we do have two more segments to get into, talking about the interior offensive line for the Chargers, what they were able to do last season, and what the position group looks like going forward, coming up right after this. All right, David. Well, first let me say, what about that timing, man? We were literally about to do this show. Thank God we didn't talk about guards before the Chargers pulled off this blockbuster trade. But here we are talking about the interior offensive line for the Chargers. And it was not a great year for that position. I think if we're talking about the best player in 2019 amongst all the centers and guards of the Chargers, I think it has to go to Scott Quessenberry, just because he was such a surprise as a former fifth round pick. Michael Schofield was definitely the best player on the offensive line, the most consistent, but Scott Quessenberry had to have been the biggest surprise.
Well, yeah, this is a guy who has been on the roster for a couple of years now and never really had an opportunity to play. He got picked in the fifth round, but the Chargers picked up Mike Pouncey, and Mike Pouncey has been playing center pretty much ever since. Scott Quessenberry was just looking for an opportunity to play, and it took a couple of injuries before that was going to happen. But when he came into the lineup, it kind of felt like he solidified that unit a little bit, especially, the middle of that interior of that offensive line, provided a pocket for Phillip Rivers to step up into. I think he was just a shoring, quiet force in the middle of the offensive line, and definitely a big surprise coming from a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, and he's cheap as well. That's one thing that Mike Pouncey is not. And Mike Pouncey going into next year is going to have a $6 million cap hit. And they could save about $5 million if they were to cut him. But we'll talk about that more in the next segment. But either way, I thought Scott Quessenberry outplayed Mike Pouncey even in the limited time that we saw Mike Pouncey this last year. So Scott Quessenberry definitely has to be the guy that you're talking about with the best surprise from last year's group. And the other big storyline from last year going into the season was, is this the year Forrest Lamb finally gets his chance to start? Him and Dan Feeney had a competition during training camp. Dan Feeney ends up with the starting role, and Forrest Lamp finally does get to come into and actually start games once Mike Pouncey gets injured. That moved Dan Feeney to center. Forrest Lamp stepped in at left guard, and that lasted all of about one game before he ended up with another season-ending injury. So, David, I think we all saw how Dan Feeney played. It wasn't a good season. He didn't have the bounce-back year that maybe some people in the Chargers organization thought he was going to have. We've never been high on Dan Feeney. He's literally cost them games in the past. And now it's really no clearer at that position, because neither one of those guys, at least in 2019, was the answer. That still seems like a pretty big question mark.
No question about it. You got to feel for Forrest Lamp, because he never seemed to really ever get a real shot at really trying to put consistent playing time on tape. He just never got that chance. He was hurt and he tore the ACL, missed the entire season. Got an opportunity last year, got hurt again, missed the rest of the season. It's just, man, you got to feel terrible for that young man, because he was so highly touted coming out of the draft. He was universally talked about as one of the best offensive linemen in the draft, regardless of position. And we just never have been able to see that materialize in the NFL at the NFL level. It's heartbreaking for that young man, and I'm sure he just wants to be healthy so he can go out there and show everybody what he is capable of doing. But like I've said many times on this show, one of the best abilities is availability, and if you can't get on the football field, you can't help your team. And as far as Dan Feeney is concerned, Dan Feeney had another really bad year. Coming from his rookie year, he was named on the all-rookie team by the Pro Football Writers of America, to now it's just been a steep and continuous decline for Dan Feeney. He showed a little bit of promise at center, but at guard, he was awful. He gave up 5 sacks last year, also got called for a couple of penalties. It's just never been a great scene ever since his rookie year. There's a lot of questions, and right now, not a whole lot of answers.
And before Trey Turner, I mean, I don't think there was any person on that line. I mean, that was really safe, except for Questenberry, who, from everything we've heard, if Mike Piazza comes back healthy, I mean, he might just go slide back right into that starting position. I know that's kind of what we expect at this point. Maybe shipping off Russell Okung means a changing of the guard, and they decide to do something else with Mike Piazza's contract. But David, the interior of the offensive line was part of an entire offensive line unit that struggled in 2019. So going forward, obviously the addition of Trey Turner helped, and he didn't necessarily have his best season last year. But at the same time, I mean, that's a huge addition for this group, because out of this group, there's going to be three guys who are unrestricted free agents. Michael Schofield is one of them. Ryan Groy is one of them. And the other one is Spencer Drango. So of the three of those guys, obviously Michael Schofield is the most noteworthy one. He had the highest Pro Football Focus grade of all the Chargers offensive linemen in 2019 with a 63.6 overall grade, a 76.9 pass blocking grade, which is definitely going to be missed. And that's kind of the frustrating part about it, is you finally have Michael Schofield step up and you're at the point where you're like, you know what, this is a guy they have to bring back. Obviously, Trey Turner and Michael Schofield might be a better combination, but at this point with Michael Schofield even coming off of his best season with the Chargers, is probably unlikely to come back. And I think with the other two guys, it's more of a situation where maybe they're cheap enough, you just bring them back for depth. But Michael Schofield was one of the best Chargers offensive linemen in 2019, and unfortunately now his spot is taken, so it's probably unlikely that he comes back.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of a shame for him, because you know he comes from the Denver Broncos and he doesn't miss a game. According to Tom Telesco, he never even missed a practice. So just the model of consistency, a guy who's a blue-collar guy, showed up to work, got his job done, didn't do anything too flashy, but he was solid. And that was definitely a good presence for the Chargers to have on the offensive line when they haven't had even an average offensive line for the past decade. So he was one of their better pickups, and a guy who's probably going to look forward to cashing in on some consistent play here in the offseason. So yeah, that's going to leave another hole at guard, which, you know, there's going to be a couple of guys that are going to be vying for that position. But like you mentioned, I mean, if they could find a way to get Schofield and Trey Turner as their guards, then you automatically have a better offensive line. But if I'm Michael Schofield, I'm going out there and trying to see how much money I can make.
And he absolutely will. I think there's a pretty small chance of him coming back at all. And Ryan Groy was a guy that played with Anthony Lynn in Buffalo, but he was really just used as an extra offensive lineman. I almost wish we would have gotten to see him play some at left guard just to see if there was something worth bringing back, but we just really didn't get to see him on the field enough. So I think in conclusion, this was a very underwhelming season for the Chargers, especially on the interior of the offensive line, which when they drafted Forrest Lamp and Dan Feeney in consecutive rounds, second and third rounds, they thought that they had kind of solved that. And really, through the first 3 years of each of their career, neither one of them seems like the answer. And there's a lot of question marks still at this position going forward for the Chargers. We're going to get into that right after this. All right, well, it's time to continue on our center slash guard position profile for the Chargers. We talked about how those guys all played in 2019, but now it's time to look forward to the 2020 season and beyond. And obviously, the Chargers made an addition already now this offseason, and that is Trey Turner. And David, one of the things I love about Trey Turner, and we've talked about this before with Anthony Lynn, is, hey, if you want to be the guy who thinks that his team is going to be a smash mouth team, a very physical team, then you need to get the players that can actually go out there and embody that. And that's what the Chargers are getting in Trey Turner, at least for the next two seasons, more than likely. You get the guy that's not afraid to finish off blocks, not afraid to play through the whistle, and obviously he's just an upgrade as far as what he does on the field. He's an aggressive blocker. He's pretty good at both run blocking and pass blocking. And David, now at that right guard spot, you have a proven player that's done it five consecutive Pro Bowls, and you bring a little bit of that nasty attitude that you always want to see in offensive linemen and that we were looking for in the draft, and now the Chargers got it in a trade.
Yeah, I mean, if you put on the tape and you watch Trey Turner, then you notice right away exactly why they brought this guy in. This guy is looking to run you over. This guy is looking to absolutely demolish you until that whistle is blown. That's the type of play, the type of attitude that you love to have, especially on the offensive line. I've always been a firm believer that games are won in the trenches and you build from the inside out. Maybe Tom Telesco is finally subscribing to that logic where you improve your offensive line and build outside of that. They already have some good talent on the outside. Now, if they continue to add players like Trey Turner with that pedigree, with that ability, you're going to see a huge turnaround and very quickly.
And one of the things we talked about in the last segment is just really still at this point of their careers, not knowing what is going to come from Forrest Lamp or Dan Feeney, whose contracts both run out after this season. So for that position, David, going forward, do you think that the Chargers go into the season with just another position battle between Forrest Lamp and Dan Feeney to see who is going to start at left guard this year?
No, I don't. I think they're definitely going to bring in another player, whether that be free agency or the draft. I think it's probably going to be more in the draft, probably in the later rounds, but they need to add some competition to that position group. I think, unfortunately, Forrest Lamp, like I said, small sample size, never really been able to put it together on the football field and stay there. Dan Feeney, been on the football field a lot. But has never really played well. So I think they need to improve. They need to bring in more competition just for the sake of fact that they might find someone who's going to perform better than the two guys they have. I mean, obviously it's a contract year, so they're going to try to put their best foot forward, but the Chargers have to improve that position, and that means bringing more competition in to try to find the absolute best player to help this offensive line and this team.
Well, and I spoke with a little bit of uncertainty about what these players' futures are, but in the case of Dan Feeney, I think we know what he is at this point. I think it's time to stop thinking that, you know, he can turn into something that he's not. And I think it'd probably be fair to say the same thing about Forrest Lamp. At a certain point, you have to stop betting on that potential and you have to bet on reality and what you've seen so far, which is a guy that can't really stay on the field. But if I told you right now, David, that next year the starting three interior offensive linemen were Forrest Lamp, Scott Questenberry, and Trey Turner, what would your confidence level be in that group specifically?
Well, I mean, it's hard to determine that because, I mean, you haven't seen a whole lot from Forrest Lamp. I mean, he has all the accolades and all the ability from college, but that hasn't really matriculated in the NFL. I mean, if he's able to translate his tape from college to the NFL and finally put it together in year four, then I'm all for that interior interior of the offensive line because they're going to bring a nastiness, a mean streak, and some polish to that position. I mean, say what you want about Forrest Lamp and his ability to be healthy, but when he is on the field and when he is playing consistently, he is a very polished offensive lineman. So I think if he's able to stay healthy, then I love that idea, and I really would love to see him just play as many games as possible, stay healthy, and see what happens. I mean, let the chips fall where they may, but go out there and give yourself a chance to go make some money in free agency. This is going to be your only chance because this is the last opportunity for you to knock that label of injury prone. I mean, because after this year, if you get hurt again, the chances of you getting signed by anyone for any amount of money is very slim.
Yeah, and you might still be able to find a veteran minimum contract out there just because of what other teams think they might be able to get out of you. But I think with that group specifically, you're already a step ahead of where you were last year. I mean, obviously, given health with Forrest Lamp, I think the bar of being better than Dan Feeney is low enough where you feel like you could have a solid upgrade at the left guard position.
Really low.
Yeah, but very, very low. So I think my confidence level would be much higher than it was last year. But at the same time, my confidence level going into last year was basically non-existent with a slight flicker of light, which was my hope that was the year that Forrest Lamp, the light bulb, pun absolutely intended, would turn on for Forrest Lamp. And we just didn't get to see that. And I think he played well in the preseason. I thought he outplayed Dan Feeney. Of course, Dan Feeney probably played much better than he normally does in the preseason as well, but that's neither here nor there. But David, now at the center position, the Chargers do have Cole Toner that's on a reserve/future contract. But if they were to decide to cut Mike Pouncey, I think that's an interesting decision going into this year because I honestly think that at this point, Dan Feeney's best position is probably backup center. I think he's a versatile guy that could be depth at guard and center, but I think center is his best position. So I think if you were to cut Mike Mike Pouncey, you would obviously take on that $2.5 million in dead cap space. And we have to see if he even gets cleared for the game, because let's not forget that he's coming off a very severe neck injury, and we're not certain what he is going to look like or when he is going to be cleared to play football, which is a very dangerous sport. So, David, with the Chargers potentially being able to save money by cutting Mike Pouncey this year, knowing that he still is a very loved guy in that locker room. Well, we saw with Marquise Pouncey, I mean, there's not many other guys you'd rather have by your side, especially in a fight, than a Pouncey brother. But what would you think if the Chargers decided that this was the year to move on from Mike Pouncey and just roll with potentially Scott Questenberry and Dan Feeney as the team's two main centers?
Well, for me, I'd be all for it, because that's just another move that gets the offensive line younger and potentially set up to protect a young quarterback for a long period of time. I think some of the best offensive lines are the guys that have been together for a couple of years, that have that chemistry, that can communicate without actually talking to each other, that's able to read their you know, person to their left and their right's body language. I think that's when these guys play their best. So if they can get a young nucleus that they have belief in, that they believe that can go out there and perform well and do their job, then I'm all for that. I think I liked what Scott Questenberry had to put on tape. I thought he, you know, like I said, I thought he played very well. So if they decide,
he's so young too, so there's no reason we don't think that he can improve. I mean, that was his first season basically playing ever, you know.
Exactly, his first opportunity to actually go out there and start in the NFL, and I thought he definitely performed very, very well. So
he more than held his own, that's for sure. I mean, PFF doesn't think that he had that great of a season, but I really liked what I saw.
No, I did too, but that's what I'm saying is, I mean, yes, we use PFF a lot, you know, as kind of a baseline, but I don't think it's the end-all be-all. I mean, they're consistent with their rankings for the most part, but I think you still have to, you know, put on the tape and look with your own eyes to see how they played. And I think that's a big part of it with Scott Questenberry. I think, you know, if they decided to make that move, Daniel, I would be happy with it.
And it would give them some more flexibility to potentially try to fill those giant openings at offensive tackle now. I mean, maybe it frees up a little bit of money for you to go try to sign a guy like Brian Bulaga or someone like that, because it would be a lot to spend that much money on the right side of your line if you're paying, you know, $9 million to Trey Turner next year and potentially $12 to $13 million to Brian Bulaga, depending on what that contract is. But it would definitely open up some flexibility, and I think the performance on the field by losing Mike Pouncey, you can talk about leadership and all of those things, and I think Trey Turner is going to bring a lot of that with him. I mean, now that he's in the league for 6 years, he is a veteran. He is a veteran leader. He was
not
a captain.
Not only is he a veteran, but I was going to cut you off.
It's okay. You're right. I mean, he is a captain. That's important.
Yeah, and yeah, that's what I'm saying. Not only is he a veteran at this point, but he is a captain. He was a captain. He was elected a captain by the Carolina Panthers. So you bring that leadership over to the Chargers' offensive line, so you're not losing a whole bunch when Mike Pouncey and Russell Okung walk out the door.
If that's the way they decide to go about it. But, I mean, just the Russell Okung not having that $13 million on the books this year, and then potentially opening up another about $5 million by releasing Mike Pouncey, I mean, that's definitely more than enough to go find yourself a suitable offensive lineman starter, at least bring in some competition maybe for that left guard spot, find a couple of veteran offensive tackles that you could potentially get even short term if you need to groom some younger guys. But that's the spotlight now. The Chargers interior is actually something we can get excited about. They have a young, exciting player there, and I think this doesn't necessarily mean they're not going to address the center or guard positions in free agency. I think guard would be more likely, but it probably does mean they're not going to be in the sweepstakes for guys like Brandon Scherff or Joe Thuney or those kind of guys. I don't think that they're in the market for them now. They're going to be a little bit out of their price range, but now you have that position solidified, which is the most important part of this whole conversation. You upgraded your offensive line today, Tom Telesco, and I give you major props, because just with the way he plays, how hard he plays, how committed he seems to being a really tough and physical, hardworking player, that's the kind of guys you want to have on your team. And when the performance also matches that, that's a home run. So I think that you're probably not going to see the Chargers draft guys like Tyler Biadasz out of Wisconsin or Lloyd Cushenberry out of LSU. They probably won't get a high profile player, but I do think they will try to go through the draft and free agency, maybe bring in some veteran minimum type of players, maybe try to strike gold in undrafted free agency to find some depth. But the top of the line starters for the Chargers definitely improved. But that is going to wrap things up for our interior offensive line position group profile. I'm glad that we got the news of Trey Turner, so it became a much more interesting conversation because he's a much more interesting player to talk about. And it's just awesome to see them actually bring in a guy that is exactly the kind of guy that we've been looking for. But that
thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. And I mean, it's not really a coupon move either, but props to Tom Telesco, the biggest trade of his time in his time as a general manager in this league. And I think it was a really home run trade. And I think everyone here at Locked On Chargers, even John Kegley, is down for this trade. So I think that's saying a lot because he's the ultimate pessimist. But we'll be back with you guys tomorrow to get into some voicemails and much more. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On LAC, where you can see us quote tweeting a big thread of just great Trey Turner plays. That's definitely something you want to look at. I mean, you could sit and watch that for hours, legitimately. That's how fun it is to watch this guy play. Also, like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing, rating, and reviewing wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. We have a chock full show of voicemails to get into because of this Trey Turner news now. But if you guys want to get your voicemails on the show, make sure to call 323-524-7924 because every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. But we'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.